folks, and welcome to tonight's Committee of the Whole meeting. My apologies to the members of the committee and the audience in waiting. I wasn't certain exactly how to get upstairs. Bob?
That's good stuff.
We have a light agenda this evening. Isn't that exciting? We've got members of the press here. That's really riveting. The Divines are with us. Excellent. Mr. Killeberg, good to see you. Motion to adjourn? Let the record show that all the aldermen are present this evening. First order of business is the consent agenda. There's only one item, but it can be enacted with one motion.
Second.
Motion by Brown, seconded by Marx. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Great. Item 3A, a presentation from the United States Postal Service on the City of Geneva 3rd Street facility plans. We have with us tonight, folks, some very distinguished guests from the U.S. Postal Service. They are probably in order of speaking. We have the distinguished Mr. Robert Hart, the District Manager of Northern Illinois. We have Marla Larson-Williams, a real estate specialist with the Great Lakes Facilities Service Office. And we have the guy that's going to make certain they say all the right things, James Muck, Manager, Corporate Communications. So welcome. As we often do, we're going to invite Bob up to speak with us first to give us all an update as to what has been happening with respect to conversations between the City of Geneva, Congressman Foster's office, which have, for all of your benefit, been taking place really since last September. Following Mr. Hart's comments, he'll probably introduce Marla. They may very well be tag-teaming up here, I don't know. But I'd kindly ask that any member of the audience and, of course, member of the committee postpone all questions till after their presentation. And I would kindly ask that anyone from the audience and, of course, from the dais who wishes to ask a question following their presentation to make certain that, A, their question is germane, and, B, that it does not echo a question earlier asked. No sense repeating what has been requested and or presented. So with that, Bob, all yours.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and committee. Appreciate the opportunity to spend some time with you tonight. I am the district manager for the Northern Illinois District. That's the northern half of the state.
Bob, I'm going to ask you to pull that microphone up closer to you.
Okay, sure.
This is being broadcast throughout 14 countries, I believe.
There should be a button right at the bottom of the microphone.
This guy behind you is not a protester. He actually works for the city, so he's going to turn that on.
The green probably means it's on.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
This is really high tech here in Geneva, man. This is.
Every time anybody said I don't talk loud enough, that's good. Again, I'm the district manager of the Northern Illinois District. I own the northern half of the state of Illinois. I have three plants: the Rockford, Palatine, and Carroll Stream plant. 250 delivery facilities, post offices, not including all the separate retail facilities. I have about 9,600 employees that make up the membership of the Northern Illinois District. So, as you know, for many years, the Postal Service has grown in terms of the amount of volume, the number of deliveries, and the amount of mail that we process on a daily basis. Over the past 18 months, I don't know exactly what happened, but I think you all do, through the spring funding economy, volume has dropped off considerably.
Dropped off considerably to, that's much better, to the point where the Postal Service is looking at opportunities everywhere we have to cut our expenses, again, just like any other business across the nation. So one of the things that we're looking at and we want to talk to you about tonight is what we call facility optimization. We have a lot of post offices that over the years have grown based on the number of carrier routes, based on the amount of volume that we move, and based on other needs. Now, in this age of what we call delivery point sequencing, our processing facilities do a lot of work for us in the that used to be done in each of the post offices. As a result of that, we've been able to consolidate and downsize a lot of routes and move a lot of equipment out. Now, as you know, some years back, we moved the carrier operation out of the Geneva Post Office and moved them into an annex up on North Avenue at Randall Road. As a result, it left the main post office here in Geneva with a lot of excess space that we just don't need. that we're paying for, we're maintaining, and we're required to take care of on a daily basis. So what we're doing now is just like, I guess we call it the empty nest syndrome, when you have a family that grows, you buy a bigger trailer and bigger house, and as things, you know, the kids move away, go to college, we tend to want to downsize. And that's where we're at in the Postal Service right now. We tend to need to downsize. So we're looking at facilities that have enough space where we can co-locate either two carrier operations or to downsize in some of the retail spaces so that, again, it cuts the costs for the Postal Service. Now, I want to make myself perfectly clear, and we'll say it over and over and over again tonight. As we move forward with our plans and what we're going to talk about here for Geneva Post Office, there are no plans. It's not even been discussed at the possibility of closing the post office. What we're looking at here in Geneva is the possibility of relocating out of the existing building into something that's a smaller square footage that would reduce our costs considerably for the Postal Service, but we want to stay right here in the downtown Geneva area if that's at all possible. So, you know, we're going to be soliciting your assistance to try to help us find a possible buyer for the building and also a location that we can move into that will meet all the same needs of the United States Postal Service as it stands today. So, along with me, you know, the mayor already introduced Marla. She's our real estate specialist, and she's going to come up and we'll just kind of tag team a little bit and talk about some of the issues. I'll let her talk first about what our plans are as they stand right now, and then we'll have a chance to address any questions. Okay, Marla?
Thank you. Now I have to lower it because I'm shorter. Thank you very much. Again, my name is Marla Larson-Williams. I handle real estate for the Postal Service in what we call the Great Lakes Facilities Office, which consists of almost five states. I specialize in what we call revenue generation that plays in hand-in-hand in optimization. My role is when I identify a location that there is a possibility to relocate the operation to save operational costs, employee costs, and other real estate type issue costs, they ask me for my expertise to come in, take a look, is it a piece of property that is, number one, marketable? Is it something that we can sell? Is there an interest in the community for a buyer for the property? So what my goal will be is to begin marketing this building. And we'll be looking for what we call fair market value. We've had it appraised. We're going to be going through a broker, Jones Lang LaSalle. And just so that you all know, we will work with the city on issuing a press release so anyone that's interested will know who to contact and so on. We have not started the marketing, even though word's out what we're trying to do. I'm holding off until probably late this week, early next week to make the official kickoff, and that's mainly to hear the feedback from the community, get some insight, and so on. Now, when we say we're looking to sell a piece of property, please understand again, as Mr. Hart had said, we are not closing the post office for Geneva. We will be either relocating to another area, hopefully within the historic district downtown area. When we do this, we want to stay as close to where we were. Now, we would be looking for about 2,000 square feet. Now, what that 2,000 square feet would consist of is your post office box section and the retail where you go up and you buy the products that we sell and so on. That's 2,000 square feet. Now, our building that we're in right now, the main floor, consists of about 5,700 square feet. Okay, then we have a full basement. Now, the basement is not handicapped accessible. It's used primarily now as storage for us. And then there's a second floor, if that's what we like to call it, where it is, it's a long staircase that if you have any height issues, believe me, it's a long staircase to walk up. And there's a very small, what we call a break room. What that would be is an area for our employees to go and have their coffee break. As, you know, in the old days, now it's go and work. What is a coffee break? Drink and run. So it's a unique style building. So what most customers see is they walk in our building, they see the post office boxes, and they see the retail. They have no idea of what happens behind that, what we call the screen line. What happens behind there are the actual operations of moving the mail. And again, as we said, we've already moved a lot of that operation out of that building and consolidated somewhere else already. So the goal is to begin marketing the property. Now, I will stress, this is something unique to the Postal Service. In the old days, when we put a piece of property up for sale, We first were mandated under federal regulations to offer it to city, state, county, federal, and all other federal entities first. Years ago, that got revised, and the reason was is that most other governmental agencies didn't want anything to do with our buildings, and we didn't want anything to do with their buildings because they were not conducive to that type of work. So the Postal Service got the permission, and the Federal Register was revised, where we can begin marketing immediately, and we sell to the best prospective purchaser. And what I mean by that is that we may have several offers, but we look at, is it financing? Are we going to have to wait for financing? Is it a cash deal? Is it a long-term financing? Is it a possibility of selling the building and the new owner proposing for us to retain our retail there and lease back 2,000 square feet? Those are all possibilities. So what I'm saying is do not let yourselves get stuck in a small box saying, I want to buy the building, and then what's going to happen with the post office? We are not leaving the community. We will look in the downtown area. If the purchaser cannot or does not want us to stay in that building, or if it's not architecturally feasible, or if the numbers don't work out, and if there's nothing within the historical district, again, we will work with the city on expanding that preferred area, trying to work with the community, so we look at all aspects. All right. Now, the current building, as you may, I'll bring up to you, is we all know there's a mural in the building. What am I going to do with that mural? It's a good question. It depends. We have, in the past, I've removed the murals, had them restored, and put them in another location that's owned by the post office. We have, in the past, removed, restored, and loaned those murals to local municipalities or to local state historic preservation type organizations. It really is an open book right now. What I will tell you is we will not allow the mural to leave the community of Geneva. We know it has history here. We want to retain that history. If there's a possibility of moving that mural into our 2,000 square feet, we may consider that. But in all honesty, the mural is, 14 feet by 9 feet. I don't know if I'm going to have that much wall space in 2,000 square feet. So again, it all depends. But I want to assure you, from that standpoint, the mural will not be leaving the community. All right? That's pretty much in a nutshell from a real estate perspective. Timing-wise, we will put the property on the market within the next few days, early next week at the latest. Proposals will be asked for. We will do a press release and let everyone know how to get in contact with the broker. And then we will probably give around 30 to 45 days for people to try to schedule times to get through the building and so on and submit their proposals. And then we will review them, and I will be in discussions with the mayor to keep the mayor information as to what are we doing and what are our time frames. We will not be relocating the retail until I have a buyer. Okay? That's all I have. Anybody have any questions, or how would you like to handle this?
No, there's no mayor? Questions. Thanks for coming.
Okay, I'm gone.
If the council or the committee doesn't object, would you prefer to ask your questions first or hear from those who are joining us tonight, or how would you prefer to operate? We are in the committee structure, so it's a little bit more loosey-goosey.
I would like the council to ask questions first, please.
Well, so be it. Marx is the one that got all the publicity in the Republican. He should have the floor. Right?
Had enough for one week.
But you did. This is Alderman Ron Singer. Mr. Singer, floor is yours.
Thank you, sir. If you have difficulty in seeking a location in the immediate community, would you consider the construction of a new location, a new site?
To be quite candid with you, I don't believe we would. We're looking for existing space. We don't want to get into a situation where it's a build-to-suit, which is probably what you're referencing. And the only reasoning is build-to-suits, our process can take up to 18 months, and it ends up being a very high cost. Also, with the market being what it is, we like to try to use whatever vacancy space there already is within the community if it meets our needs of the 2,000 square feet. Now, what I didn't mention earlier, to be honest with you, is all space has to be ADA compliant. So that will be a criteria on any new location.
Now, if you do find a location, what's the process as far as do you purchase that site and the facility located on that site? Do you lease it?
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I didn't make that clear at all. We were looking to lease only 2,000 square feet, yes. And what we'll do is we'll be probably another real estate specialist like myself from the my office that would come in to a town meeting, explain the parameters and what we call our preferred areas, saying we are now looking for 2,000 square feet, and here's the north, south, east, west boundaries. And then also what the process from that standpoint is, we begin advertising, people pick up proposal packages, and they submit their properties for consideration. At that point, internally, the Postal Service reviews them, and at the same time, we post them both in the post office as well as asking for space with the city, and we let the public know what properties have been submitted for consideration. Now, what we do is we give the locations only. We do not give the prices because that's confidential, but we identify the locations, and we give an opportunity for the community to submit their comments and suggestions. We take that into consideration. We do what we call a site selection review. That's an internal meeting to the Postal Service where all different avenues or departments within the Postal Service get together. That's operations, transportation, real estate. And what we do is we look at, obviously, the location, what's the price, what's the parking areas for that particular space. We look at safety. We're always concerned about safety. We get nervous of cars pulling out on busy roads because that's how people get hurt. Those are all areas that we look at. Then what we do, we make a determination. We rank the sites 1, 2, 3, the one being obviously the preferred, and we start those negotiations. At that point, we notify the community that this is the selected site. Again, we give the city and the community the opportunity to submit comments and suggestions. So it's an ongoing process that we try to be involved with the community.
How essential is it for you to have a location in which you will have a means of a docking facility as such, because you have trucks moving in and out, I suspect, and you'll need some means of being able to provide that kind of service?
We do put that in our requirements when we put the advertisement together, that we prefer something with a dock, mainly because our mail is brought in by truck. Mm-hmm. There are some buildings that we've leased in the past. We do adapt. I know we're sometimes very stringent, but we do adapt where there was no dock, and we use what we call a scissors lift, where the mail, it lifts up, go, you know, level with the truck, bring the mail off the truck, and it comes back down. The problem with them, I'll be very honest with you, they're not very appealing. They're not very attractive, and there are sometimes safety issues that we are concerned for our employees. But we prefer a dock. It could be a shared dock, a joint use type dock if it's a building that has multiple tenants or maybe two tenants. A lease, we would be looking for a 5-year lease, more than likely with 1 5-year, or a 10 with a 5-year renewal. And the reason for that is we really want to do a little bit longer term. In the old days, we used to go 15 years with 5. Again, due to our financial situation and our growing, or really scaling down situation, we don't want to get in that too long of a contract. So I wouldn't see it being more than a 10-year max.
You indicated that you would like to relocate somewhere here in the downtown area. Is there a particular radius of distance that you would seek as opposed to where you're presently located?
We haven't identified exactly the preferred area, but that is correct. We would look at where we are now, and we would try to keep it within the historic area within the community, and we'll work with the city and take in, you know, any comments this committee or the community has, and we'll narrow it down. Now, obviously, I don't want to identify space or a north, south, east, west boundary that has residential. What's the purpose? And I've had that happen in the past. And again, we have to look at what is the type of use. We want a retail type space for this type of unit.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Marla. Marla, I know you were saying earlier when you get your bids in, you like to kind of take the path of least resistance, for lack of a better word, and do the cleanest deal possible. I was just wondering if the city was going to have any input. If you have bids A, B, and C, and A is going to be the quickest and cleanest way, but C would be more preferable for our community, it may take slightly longer to pull off. Are we going to have any input with you guys for that, to say, hey, look, I understand what you're trying to do here, but see, would really help us out. Would we be able to work with you in that sense?
I would be willing to come out and talk with you and see what we can work out. The bottom line is the building's for sale, and I want to get the biggest amount of money as possible. That's my job. That's right. What I get rated on. But at the same time, I don't want it where we're cutting off our nose towards the community. That's not at all our intent. Not at all. Okay. And proposals, there's all different types of proposals. It's not in the old days where here's the postal form you had to fill out and that was it. We are more flexible now. We look at more than just we're selling the building, we're moving. Mm-hmm. We are willing to talk with individuals that are really, truly interested in submitting a proposal.
Okay.
Okay. Does that help address?
Yes, thank you.
Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. Marla, you had indicated that the mural will be staying in Geneva. We have your commitment for that?
You work with me in finding a place to loan it, yes.
Okay.
If I can't find a location, I'm kind of leaning on the community to assist with that because it is a large mural.
Right, and there is historical significance because the artist was inspired to paint that scene called The Fish Fry after walking on down by Island Park in 1940. So it really is a part of the community, and we do appreciate you wanting to work with us and knowing the good residents of this town. I'm certain we'll find a home for it. So thank you.
Yeah, the only thing I have to say on the mural, though, is to be honest with you, we cannot sell it. What we would do is we would put it as a loan agreement. That is a mandate. When these murals were painted in our facility. So that would be a long-term loan agreement, and I would be able to share that information with parties that are interested.
And just to clarify, that loan agreement has to be in a place that has public access.
Yes.
So Mr. Piper's basement would not qualify.
No, that would not qualify. It has to be for the better of the community. The community has to be able to see it, and it has to be more than one member of the community.
Even though he's the biggest member of the community.
As I said, more than one.
Okay. Mr. Pollack?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anyone else with this?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Like a lot of residents of Geneva, we're sorry to hear about this. But hopefully you'll find something within the downtown area or within a reasonable distance so that the community can benefit from its presence, the presence of the postal office. I'm hoping that our total community of Geneva somehow gets together and works very hard towards attempting to save the current building, even though there are some difficulties apparently that I've been told about. And you have the difficulty with the ADA compliance. And but then hopefully that can be resolved. The necessary improvements can be taken care of. But it is a wonderful building. As we all know, it was built in 1936. For those of us who were born around those days, although maybe not in the in this community, it's still a memorable building. And somehow, if the community, public agencies with private assistance can get together to save the structure and make it usable for the total community, either as a center for art or a museum or whatever, I think it would be admirable. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Any other committee member? They all do email.
They have your email, right?
Do they? From the audience, anyone at all? Questions for either Marla, Mr. Hart? And if you do have a question, I'd just invite you to join us at the microphone. Just share with us your name and your address so we can capture it for the record. And don't forget that this is being broadcast live in 70 different languages throughout the world. So.
70 now. Going up.
This is like working in a cemetery. You got 1,000 people, nobody talks. It's like it's a Slukovich. Yeah, please do. Thank you. We want to make sure we capture everything.
Okay. Just to be honest, I was over at Sue Cherney's house, and we turned on the TV, and we were watching this, and it came up about the post office, so I kind of hot-tailed over here.
I kind of ran in.
I'm going to run out in just a minute. But,
I think they just made their last pickup. I don't know if you could drop off that car.
Anyway, I'm a little embarrassed because I missed part of it, but I just want to reiterate what Mr. Pollack said, and that is the importance of the mural in the post office. I take second graders in there. I do tours with them.
Margaret, forgive me for interrupting, but if you could share your story with our postal representatives, then they'd have more context about what
to
say.
Oh, okay, sure. My name is Margaret Selakovich, and I'm the educator at the Geneva History Center, and I do outreach programs and programs where the students from the Geneva School District come down to the History Center and do walking tours. And part of the second grade tour is to take them into the post office to view the mural, and it's a really great experience for them because it's all about community. And they have the opportunity to look at the mural and notice anything and everything in the mural and then determine where that location is at. And they do an excellent job. And I'm a little frustrated right now because I know that's going to be a change in my walking tour, but really it is probably the best part of my tour. And the significance of that piece, a lot of times we sit up here and we talk about it and what may happen, but truly we have to take care of this mural. It's really part of Geneva's history. So whatever happens to the building, let's take good care of it. So thank you. Now I'm going to run away.
Well, Margaret, to your point, I think you'd find this most helpful. When we met with the Postal Service at Congressman Foster's office, literally the first question was, what about the mural?
Okay.
So it is a top of mind amongst all of us. I've corresponded with Carla and others. I know the Postal Service has been very transparent with respect to exactly what will become of that. Obviously, restoration and then hopefully return to the community in a public place, etc. So, but I am a little offended that the post office is more exciting than the mayor's office on your tour.
Oh, well, they like that one too. And they like ringing the bell at the Unitarian Church. I just can't reiterate enough to you the importance. I mean, I can think of some great places to, one of them being the History Center, to have that mural, but you never know. If you don't have the space to fit it, then what are we going to do? So we need to work hard at that. So thank you.
I agree. Thank you very much. From the audience, anyone else? Right. Welcome.
I'm Gloria Ann Campbell. I live on South 6th Street. I just reiterate, and my concern is for the structure. I mean, we're addressing the mural, which is very important, but I also am very concerned about the structure itself. Yes, it is in the historic district. What exactly are leveraged to maintain this building? I mean, if that was wiped out, the scape of 3rd Street would be a great loss. And so I think that's very important. I think of Doc Morgan's built business, which is in the old St. Charles post office, and you still have the building and so on. So I think maintaining the building and creative use is what we need to do, but I think that's extremely important. I think that's part of what is the ambiance of Geneva. And you walk down the street. I mean, the thought of not having a post office there is distressing to me because it's a place of meeting and greeting and people seeing each other, and I am sad at the thought of that not being the case, but we certainly have to keep the building.
Gloria, if you don't object, I'm going to ask Mr. Unch, our Community Development Director, to give a very brief explanation, and if I may steal your term, the leverage the city has with respect to that structure itself when it is sold to another entity. So, Dick, if you could, just an hour tops, just a awesome.
45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Very much a part of our program with our Historic Preservation Commission to review properties that are proposed by a property owner for demolition. It's a critical part of their authority, their review authority. So if a purchaser were to acquire the property and had desires to raise the building for some alternative development, there's no, I can't predict what that process would result in, but I can tell you that the Historic Preservation Commission would go through a deliberate review process of that building permit application. And a basis for the review really falls to the property owner to demonstrate a financial hardship in retaining the property or having to improve the property to upgrade it to meet their standards and economical use of the property. If their investment in the property to restore or rehab the property to bring it up to their standard for use is not found to be viable, that is, you can't get an economic return out of the investment that you make in the property, then that starts creating a basis for the granting of the demo permit. But they do go through a very deliberate process in reviewing that type of request. And then I will also say, there's no question that our Historic Preservation Commission would prefer, overwhelmingly, I don't even have to ask them, to keep that building intact. But it is part of their responsibility to review demo permits, and they have a process to review them.
And just for clarification, Dick, if the building is purchased tomorrow, and whatever wants to go in there, and there's no significant or really no measurable change to the building itself, exterior-wise, it's really a matter of internal permitting, issuing the building permit, call it a day. Right. There's really no other levers. There's not a 1004 site review by the Planning Commission. There's not a city council review. It's all staff-driven.
That's right. In fact, at this point, the required parking for any alternative use that's allowable in the B2 district, which is zoned, there's no new parking that would be required with that new use. So things are kind of frozen out there with respect to what's allowable.
Thank you very much. Marla?
Thank you very much. I apologize for not mentioning the State Historic Preservation Office, our process, because we do work with the State Historical. It's called the Section 106. And what we do is we submit to them the history of the building, the architectural, everything from a historic standpoint and so on. And we try to work with what we call the SHPO. And there have been buildings where we do put covenants and restrictions in our deed to who we sell the property to. That's part of the process. That's part of the proposal package. It's brought to the anticipated purchaser's attention that we have to work through that. Again, the concern would be on a building built at this time, is it really... do we want to have it torn down? And a lot of times the answer to that question is no, because of the community and the history behind the building. So we would work through the Section 106 as while we're marketing the property. Does that help explain the State Historic Preservation process?
Yeah. And Mr. Runch, okay. One other question of clarification.
Yeah.
The building is old. Is it deemed historic? Based on the Secretary of the Interior standards?
Yeah. Well, we have our inventory of significant and contributing structures in the downtown area, and it is at least, by our inventory, a contributing structure within the local historic district, and our district is also a National Register district. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's,
thank you.
It's definitely contributing.
Marla?
The age of the building. The building is eligible to be on the historic register.
Sure.
A lot of our buildings with the postal services, you can imagine, are. We do not normally go through that process because of the time and cost factors involved. When you start to look at our portfolio of 38,000 to 40,000 buildings between owned and leased, that's a large portfolio. So, again, that's part of the Section 106 process, but it is eligible to be on the National Register.
Thank you, Marla. Thank you, Dick. Yes, sir.
My name is Colin Campbell. I live on 6th Street, too. Marla, I have a question for you.
And you're talking about the kind of structure you're looking for, and I'm trying to think in downtown Geneva what might serve. Are you looking for a storefront that can be adaptable? I'm thinking of the annex on the east side of St. Charles up on 7th Avenue and Main Street in St. Charles, Route 64, that is in a shopping center, that kind of thing. What specifically kind of building would meet your needs?
The type of building that we would need is a retail-type building.
Okay.
So it could be a storefront, it could be in a strip center, it could be a freestanding. Mm-hmm. What we don't want is something on a second level, obviously, because of handicapped accessibility issues. We like first floor, we'd like to be out there in the open so people can find us. And we want it to continue, if we were to relocate, for it to be a meeting place for the community. A little bit different location, but still try to have the atmosphere that's still the main post office for the community. Does that help you?
Yeah, that answers. Question for the council, because I don't know, and I know I'm jumping way the heck ahead, but why not? Does anybody know how big the old sheriff's office behind the courthouse is, and would that be adaptable?
On 3rd Street?
Yeah, off of 3rd Street. It's on, what is it?
Franklin.
Yes, Campbell.
You mean the Kane County State's Attorney's Annex building?
What, the little old modern building?
Yeah, that's the Kane County State's Attorney's Annex building. I don't know how big that is. That's a good question. I do not.
They abandoned that, didn't they? It's empty, I think.
I believe it is, yeah.
And there's certainly parking, and it's about a block from the current post office.
If we chose that, would we have to rename that the Campbell Postal Service Annex?
No, I'm a lot faster than that.
Mr. Kilburg.
And I can't.
All in good fun, Marla and Bob.
We're a fun community.
Marla, I assume that the post office pays no taxes in the city of Geneva. Is that correct?
Right now, the property is tax exempt. It would go back on the tax rolls. Correct.
Okay. Is there any possibility that the post office could approach the city and create a TIF district as a motivation to sell the property, and that the city and the post office could work together in this manner? Do you have any history where this has been done before?
No, to be honest with you, we haven't. But again, I won't say no out front. I'd be willing to research it and investigate it and see if it's something we can do. In all honesty, we'd like to be able to sell it, get it on the tax rolls. And by the way, if we move out of that location, the retail location, that's a function of the rent. So we would be paying real estate taxes for a change.
Mr. Kilburg, I believe that the short answer to your question is that building, that land, that area is not TIF eligible. As you well know, in order to meet certain TIF guidelines, the neighborhood has to be, for all practical purposes, blighted is the term that Mary McKitchen just whispered in my ear. That's actually in the Illinois statute, and I don't think anyone, regardless of how talented our legislators are, would think that a 3rd Street's blighted. So it'd be tough.
That definition's been a little vague at times.
Yes, it has, indeed. Anyone else from the audience? Anything at all? Anything from the dais? Any last questions? Excellent. I would only ask that anyone watching at home or anyone who might have anybody who has an interest in the building to direct all inquiries first to Ellen DeVita, our Economic Development Director. She's primarily serving as our shepherd, if you will, for all inquiries, and she works directly with Bob and Marla. So
both ways, to buy or sell to the post.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. So, good stuff. Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Thank you. We're going to continue, folks, without delay. Item 3B is consider approval for the Chamber of Commerce Fine Arts Festival street closures and use of city resources in conjunction with.
So moved.
Second.
Third.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Flanagan, to close the streets for whatever reason.
That's right. We read the packet.
My glasses are all messed, so I couldn't see. Any questions for Madam Gaines regarding this big festival coming up? It's always a good one.
Just a Dorothy? Quick question. You have approached all the businesses in the area. And feel comfortable?
I think this is a
digital art festival. This is a good one.
Oh, this is the art festival.
This is fine art. Yeah. And I think this is year 7. So I think they're pretty much used to us being there. And the bookmarks kind of give them a clue year to year what the dates are. So it's a well-accepted event, I think.
Very much.
I agree.
Are you expecting as many vendors?
For we are overloaded, actually. She's hoping for a couple of cancellations because we have many more applications and spaces, so that's a good thing.
That is a great thing.
It is.
It's a great thing. Any other questions for Jean? Or if not, we have a motion by Singer, a second by Flanagan. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item C is consider approval of temporary outdoor liquor license and related parking lot closures for Swedish Days Festival June 23rd through the 28th, 2009.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Hill and seconded by Piper. Questions or comments? Seeing none, hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Item D, consider approval of city parking lot closure at northwest corner of Hamilton and River Lane on June 25, 2009 for the Green Market temporary relocation due to those rascally Swedes coming to town.
So moved.
Second.
I'm sure I'll get emails about that one. Motion by Flanagan, seconded by Marks.
Vogelsberg.
Oh, I'm sorry. Vogelsberg.
Oh, boy.
Madam, would you like to add some? This is Ellen DeVita. God.
I just want to clarify, this location moved 3 times and the agenda is not matching the packet. Oops. It will be the portion of Hamilton that will be closed.
What are we saying?
It does say parking lot on the agenda. So, we've gone on site several times. The Green Market people have talked to all businesses around. And they chose this as the best place because it won't impact the condo residents getting in and out of their parking lot.
Dorothy, do you have a comment or a question?
No, I was just making sure. Oh, the agenda is okay.
Yeah.
The agenda is wrong, and the packet is right.
I didn't read the agenda, actually. I just kind of...
She wanted to withdraw her motion.
No, I don't hope not.
That's funny.
I just wanted to make sure that it was Hamilton, so I understood.
You know, it should be noted, and Ellen, I'm certain you're as proud as everybody else is, that the Green Market has frequently attracted a couple hundred people. Last Thursday, nearly 600 people marched through.
Alderman Singer did the opening.
They
estimated 600 people. They're up to 16 vendors.
Yeah, popular
guy. A number of people there. It was very exciting.
So, buying local for your food chain is really just an increasing interest from folks.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
So, that's awesome.
Okay.
We have a motion by What's-Her-Face and the second... Motion by Vogelsberg. Who's the second? Marks. Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item E is to consider bid award to DeMar Tree and Landscaping Company in the amount of $105,965 for the 2009-10 annual tree trimming contract.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Brown. Questions or comments for, I believe it'd be Mr. Buffington.
No, not for
whom we just woke up. Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Michael, have you designated the areas that you feel where the service is going to be performed?
Yes, they're on our webpage.
They are?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good news. I was left with the impression some time ago that this was a service that was going to be provided for by city employees. Am I incorrect in that? Apparently I am.
I don't know what you're talking about. We've always had an outside tree service.
We have contracted this service previously.
For a number of years.
Yes.
Yeah, we certainly have.
I think you're confusing the ash borer with the electric tree trimming program, which are completely separate programs.
Okay, that's what I'm confused about. Okay, thank you for that clarification. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Dawn, then Dorothy.
Oh.
Dawn actually had her hand up. Look at that. I got the...
I just wondered, I had someone ask me why Kramer, do you think, came in so much higher than the other two?
I have no idea.
That's what I thought. Yeah, thank... I mean, right, there's a million reasons. Okay, thank you.
Dorothy?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is not the parkway trees. It is the electrical line trees, correct?
Yes, it is, electric line trees.
But it's not the parkway trees?
No, it's not.
Okay. Thank you.
Ray, then Mr. Dentino.
Thank you, Mayor. Hello, Mike. I see that we've budgeted approximately $105,965 for this item, and that DeMar Tree is the low bid, low hourly bid at $105 an hour. Do we have an idea as to how many hours are going to be needed? How are you going to factor it?
I really haven't looked at that. I know the bid's lower than it was this year, and I haven't looked at how many hours we put in to the tree trimming. What I can tell you is generally what we do is we don't use all the hours for our tree trimming. We save some up for storm damage, and then we use the last of the hours up just before the end of the year.
So you'll call them back to finish the contract, if you will?
That's correct.
And do you anticipate we'll use the entire budgeted amount?
Yes, we do.
Thank you. Thank you.
All set. Mr. Dentino?
This is for the electrical lines tree trimming, is that?
Yes, the Geneva electric.
How often does it have to get done?
How often?
Yeah.
We're on about a three-year cycle.
Three-year cycle for everybody's house?
Yes.
Okay, that's because somebody asked me that just yesterday, and I didn't know the answer, so thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? I have one question. It's more for education purposes. And Mr. Buffington, you've been around long enough to know that sometimes some of our residents express concern over the trimming practices of those we employ. If there is a concern, whom do they call?
They may call myself or Hal Wright.
And that number is 232-1501. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So just on the off chance there's someone who, because I know Ralph and some others, Craig, we've had some calls recently of late, and it becomes a pretty emotional issue when trees have to be trimmed in order to preserve power coming to homes. And
it is an extremely emotional issue.
Yeah. Squirrels are outplaced. This is brutal. It is. I'm serious. I'm sure I'll hear about that one, too.
Yes, you will.
Anyone else for Mr. Buffington? We have a motion and we have a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item F is to consider draft resolution authorizing the execution of easement agreements for Pepper Valley Unit 2 and 3.
So moved.
Second.
That was Flanagan, and that was seconded by Marsh. Questions or comments for Mr. B? Seeing none, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item G is to consider draft resolution authorizing the City of Geneva to participate in intervention of real estate tax appeal filed by Sports Authority with the Illinois Property Tax Appeal Board.
So moved.
Second.
Marks makes the motion and Piper seconds. Questions or comments from Mrs. McKittrick, Mr. Marks?
Mary, do we have an idea of what this is going to be, our share of this?
We don't have an exact dollar figure. The agreement that the council approved a couple of weeks ago basically said that we would participate on a pro rata basis and we would pay our proportionate share. All four entities that originally agreed to participate, the Park District, Library District, School District, and City, have chosen, or hopefully the city will be choosing to participate in this protest. My best estimate is hundreds of dollars. Obviously, the school district is going to pick up the largest proportionate share because we're basing it on the breakdown of the tax bill. And the city's share is typically about 8% of the total tax bill, so that would relate to the amount of the total bill that we would be paying for this. I don't have an exact dollar figure, but I would be looking at this as far as the impact to the city if this appeal were to stand with the board. We would be losing about $2,100 per year. So I would be looking at the total estimate in relation to that before making decisions. So I guess I'm asking the council to trust me to make the best decision in that regard.
And we're using the school board's attorneys for this, correct? If I remember right, that was the discussion.
Correct. They're the lead on this.
They're the lead on it. Okay. Just wanted to make sure that was what everybody had agreed to.
Right.
That's fine, Mary.
Anyone else on the dais? Questions for Mary regarding item G? We have a motion. We have a second. Mr. Devine, join us at the microphone, sir.
Of course.
You have to, man. This is no more letting Devine slip by.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
John Devine, did I understand correctly that you'll cap it at $2,100?
No, I didn't say that we would cap it at $2,100. I said that's what we would stand to lose per year if the appeal was upheld by the board.
Okay. But if we're going to lose $2,100 a year, how much money do we want to throw after trying to not lose $2,100? That's why I'm asking if you want to cap our expenditures at $2,100.
Well, I didn't ask the council to do that. I asked them to provide me with the I guess the flexibility to make that decision based on the estimate of cost when I receive that from the school district.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I'm proposing that maybe we take that into consideration as part of this, that, you know, we don't want to spend $4,000 to save $2,100.
But we have to look beyond just 1 year of revenue.
No,
as well.
No, I understand that. So, you know, but hopefully we're going to look. In a nutshell, cost-benefit relationship here.
Well,
you know, without a blank check.
I might also add that there is an element, excuse me, of negotiation. Sometimes these things can be negotiated into a settlement, so that's a possibility as well. Again, another reason for me asking for the council's flexibility on this, and I think that I can make the best decision depending on the total circumstances when I receive all of those facts.
Oh, I'm sure you can make a good decision. I'm only concerned about the cost.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyone else? We have a motion and a second. All in favor of item G, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Before we head into closed session, let's jump to new business. Is there any new business from anyone in the audience tonight? Anything at all? From the dais? Nothing? No one's going to make fun of Mr. Marx's picture in the Republican or anything?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh. That was a good article, wasn't it?
That's a very nice article. They did a nice job.
Mr. Well, if you say so yourself.
Mr. Dandino's next.
Ooh. Really? I was told they used the Dinosaur filter on Marx. Kind of that fuzzy look that...
Do you know how much the brushing costs?
I can't imagine. Mr. Hill.
Mayor. Thank you. This Saturday at 8:30, Mr. Campbell and I, and hopefully a few others, are going to be working on the kiosk at the corner of Campbell and 3rd Street. Hopefully get to start painting it so that it looks better. And so hopefully we'll be able to get that completed before Swedish Days. So far it's just been Mr. Campbell and I and one other potential volunteer. So if anybody wants to come and help from the dais or from the audience or from the world audience, we won't pay your airfare to come, but we'd love to have some help. 3 or 4 people, we could get a lot of painting done and make it look very nice. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hill, may I ask who is the owner currently of that kiosk?
That's a good question. I've researched it pretty deeply and The owner seems to be the owner of the property in which it sits, which is the county. But there's not really any definite written recording as to who's the owner.
I presume you have the county's permission to...
We do have the county's permission to do minor improvements. But if we want to paint it pink, I think we could be in real trouble. Maybe residents of the new facility in the north northwest part of town.
Anyone else? New business? Dorothy?
I would be amiss if I did not mention that this Saturday the Geneva Garden Walk is going to be, our Geneva Garden Club will be hosting their Geneva Garden Walk. And on that walk, they will be also selling our quilt raffle tickets. So I just wanted to put a plug in for the Geneva Beautification Quilt Raffle, and they'll be selling tickets during the at the History Center. So
Friday,
come and join. It is Friday and Saturday. No, you don't. Oh.
Do you guys want us to leave? Anyone else on the dais? Just a reminder to everyone that the city newsletter is going online. So if you have not signed up for the city newsletter yet and you want to receive that in your inbox, you can do so in one of two ways. Either hop on the city's website. On the homepage, there's a link, and you'll be registered. Otherwise, visit GenevaNews@geneva.il.us, and that request will go directly to Jean Fornari, and she'll make certain that you receive our first copy, which is due out pretty soon. Exciting, isn't it? And we right now have over 1,500 people. Well over 1,500 people have signed up for that, so it's pretty exciting. It's not nearly as powerful as the e-Geneva, but it's getting there, man. Anyone else in the business? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion. Two, we're going to closed session on possible litigation. Motion by Singer, seconded by Hill. Ladies and gentlemen, there will be action taken in open session. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Negative.
Microphones are off.